This is the Norris Group's Real Estate Investor Radio Show, the award-winning show dedicated to thought leaders shaping the real estate industry and local experts revealing their insider tips to succeed in an ever-changing real estate market. Hosted by author, investor, and hard money lender, Bruce Norris.
Hi, thank you for joining us. My name is Bruce Norris, and today we have a very special guest, John Stevenson. John Stevenson is an entrepreneur, business owner, real estate investor, a personal competitor of mine, and a friend for a very long time. When did you feel the industrial market start to turn and get better? Do you remember what year that started to have a little light at the end of the tunnel?
Well, it's actually always been good. I was able to put deals together with different tenants. In 08, rents dropped by about 30%.
Wow. Okay.
And we've had a waiting list for several years now.
Yeah, I'm sure that's true. Now, when you have a lease on a industrial property, is it something that's actually is a year-to-year thing, or is it much longer than that?
Well, it's a minimum of a year, and some of the larger companies will go 5 years.
Do you have
whatever fits the tenant's needs, as long as it's a minimum of a year?
Okay.
We'll sign them up.
Give me an idea of who your typical tenant is. Are they like subcontractors, or you know, what do they do?
Well, we're zoned at this property we're discussing. We're zoned automotive, so the majority of the tenants there are involved in the automotive industry.
Okay. Not causing any soil problems, though. Correct.
No, of course not.
Yeah, that's interesting. Have you ever thought about making that a niche since you solved it once? The soil problem.
Well, sometimes ignorance is bliss, if you will. But was able to figure out a way to get it remediated. And Jaeger Landfill ended up taking all that dirt. It was under the limits as far as the inspections for the phase 1, phase 2. So I took all the lab reports over to Jaeger, and he needed dirt at the time because they take asphalt and cement, mix it together, and put it in their landfill.
Okay.
So, and the seller paid for the transportation, which was good.
Yeah. Okay. Probably about 1 in 1,000 people would be able to pull that off, though. That was a good one.
Well, I think you and I have always been dice rollers. at my age, I probably wouldn't do that again.
Yeah. Well, that's true a little bit, but yeah. You're still, you know, it's interesting. You gave me a call one day and you told me that you have a top 10 list every year. And on the list is to go see a heavyweight title fight. Would I like to join you in Vegas for the Foreman fight? And I thought, are you kidding me? Heck yeah. that was pretty cool. That was an amazing night. I don't know if you've ever been a part of anything that was more exciting than that. I have not. That is the loudest noise I have ever heard sustained in my life.
Yeah, who did Foreman fight that night?
He fought Michael Moore.
Okay, yeah, yeah. And took it in the 10th or something?
Yeah, 10th round. When he hit it, he got beat the first 9 rounds, basically. And then there was a punch. I leaned over to you and I said, he just hurt Moore. And the next punch flattened him. And that was, man, we'd heard nothing but the loudest noise for 5 minutes in a row. I mean, it was sheer joy. I remember people were like jumping up and down. That was the coolest thing. I don't know if you remember this, but we were standing ringside. The seats were amazing, and Foreman was getting interviewed, and this just really hit me at the time that, you know, I'm pretty familiar with boxing, you know, realized he took a lot of heat for coming out of retirement. You know, he'd been fighting till he was 25, then took 20 years off. When he came back, a lot of ridicule, you know, like, what a joke. When you get interviewed after you win what's arguably the biggest title in the world of sports, you would think there would be a part that would say, I told you so, or something like that. And when the guy interviewed him, he said, well, George, you got to be really proud of yourself. You got your title back. And he said, "What? It's not so important I got my title back. What is important is I live in a country that lets you pursue your dreams till you get what you came for." And I
would, a humble man.
I would never forget that statement, man. I looked at you and I said, did you just hear what he said? And I was tearing up and crying at the time. And I can barely tell that story. That was just very impactful. I called him a couple years after that and talked to him in Houston.
Huh.
And that was pretty cool. And I wanted to let him know I was ringside when he said that. And that meant a lot to me.
Aw.
Yeah. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. What was he? 45 at the time.
Yeah. 45 and Mora had beat Holyfield. So,
wow.
You know, Mora was a legit undefeated heavyweight title holder.
And yeah, I remember you saying that was probably the most exciting sporting event you'd ever witnessed.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I can compare it to is when Russia got beat by the U.S. in hockey, but I was on TV. If you were there, it would have been equally as loud. But I don't think anything ever will beat that as far as – and I was right there. I was probably hoarse because I was into it, and it was such a unexpected thing. But, yeah, what a cool event.
Yeah, he was taking some punches, no doubt.
Yeah, but you know what? What was important? What was it neat that you had a top 10 list. So, you know, I've known a lot about you in the business side, but you always have a plan for extraordinary fun too. Which I don't know how to do that. I really don't.
Well, I think I've always believed if you work hard, you have to play hard.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Now, do you have trouble making up a top 10 list or not?
You know, what's weird is I'm in a position where I have the means, and it's kind of weird. When it's like when you don't have the means, you want to go somewhere. You want to make it happen. So I do have the means now. I've been to almost every island in the Caribbean. I love the Caribbean.
Okay.
But do have some plans to get back out there.
Well, I tried to make a top 10 list after you told me about that. And I actually sat down and thought about that. And I wrote two things to start with. And I wanted to see lava of whatever reason. That was, I wanted to see an actual lava flow, and I wanted to hold a dolphin. And literally within a month, I went on a vacation, and my buddy Glenn and I, we went to this dolphin thing where you're holding a dolphin, and it just so happened there was a volcano that, you know, is generally erupting in some part of this island in Hawaii. And we got to walk.
Big island.
Yeah, the big island. We got to walk up to where lava was flowing just really slowly, and it literally stopped right at our feet.
Awesome.
That was pretty cool. But I still have a hard time writing a top 10 list. And I think part of it, I got married at 17, and you just have a lot of responsibilities. And I don't know that there probably were many years, like you said, when you don't have the means, and when you have the means, it's kind of different. But for many years, you know, what does Bruce want to do didn't seem like that was a topic for discussion. And I think what happens, and maybe I'm still this way, if someone I love says, I would like to do this, it goes on my list. So that's what I want to do.
It's fun sharing stuff like that with,
yeah,
people that appreciate it, and I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm better off adopting somebody else's list than creating it from scratch.
We need to watch The Bucket List again. That was a great movie.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Now you were just at an MMA fight, right?
That was Connor.
Okay, so you were just at that one. Was that a top 10 list, or you just decided to go?
No, that was actually just a 24-hour notice. We just decided to head over to Vegas and watch a fight.
Okay. So, are they still comping your tickets?
Well, not like the olden days back in my carnal days. No, no. But I think you finally find out it's cheaper just to buy your rooms and just go have a good time. And because all the comps they give you, like Dad used to say, you know, son, they don't build all these fancy casinos on the losers.
No.
They're on the winners. They build it on the losers.
Yeah.
So.
Oh. When, you know, now what year did you sell your business?
That was in 2013.
Okay. Wow. That's 7 years ago.
And then ended up staying on for 2 additional years. So actually 15.
Okay. So how have you found, retirement?
And I asked myself, how did I ever have time to work? You know?
Okay. So you're over there monitoring all your industrial units.
Yes. I'm blessed in the fact that I do enjoy that. I get a lot of satisfaction out of it. I enjoy it. And if you're doing something because you want to, not because you have to, that's my idea of retirement.
Absolutely. Yeah. When you were growing up, was it your desire to be like excellent at something, end up wealthy and all that? What was the driver for you?
That's a good question. I'm not sure what drove me. I just always knew that if I wanted something, I was going to have to earn it. My parents instilled that trait within me.
Mm-hmm.
Plus all the love, emotion, support that way, you know. But financially, if I wanted it, I knew I had to earn it. So.
Now, you have two daughters?
Have two daughters, yes.
Okay. So I have a feeling that you instilled that in them.
I hope so.
Well, I think you did. Do you see any entrepreneurial spirit in either one of them?
Not so much. No,
okay.
They're both very, very happy at what they do. I've invited them to join the business. And one's in the medical profession, and the other one has 3 children, so she's a full-time mom.
And
hardest job in the world, as we all know.
Yeah, and you've got one of the easier ones, Grandpa.
Exactly. Yeah. Put fingerprints all over him and say goodbye.
That's pretty cool. Well, you know what, John? I really enjoy talking with you.
Likewise, Bruce, and you are the one that got me started in this business in the real estate. And whenever I have the opportunity, there's nobody that I can think of that has more integrity, somebody that I would rather do a business deal with other than Bruce Norris.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. Yeah,
you're at the top of the list, buddy.
I appreciate that. Yeah, when you put that on my website thing one time, was a handshake deal. That's, you know, when I told you about trying to describe what I expected out of a friend, that was certainly there, that there would be trust. And you know what? That's the thing. You and I have been through some stuff that hasn't been easy either, and I guess that's when you find out who you really have. So when you go through some stuff that's not everybody does what they say, and you end up with people that do exactly what they said, then you go, okay, wow, that's really the guy, and that's pretty cool. So you and I have a weigh-in date, March 22nd, man, so I'm going to be hitting it.
Well, you better.
Okay,
buddy. I'm halfway there.
Yeah, I'm a little behind, but I am now completely all in. So I will, I may even text you my weight every day just so you can see.
Well, I need that motivation. I would welcome that.
Okay. All right, buddy, I'm going to let you go. Thank you. Thank you so much for taking your time. I appreciate it very much, John.
You bet. Good talking to you.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
All right. So that interview was a little bit shorter than we expected, but it was good. I just curious to know how often you get asked to do mentorship.
A lot.
Yeah. Yeah,
a lot. And I,
and what's your answer typically?
Just call me. See, that's, we did that, you know, maybe was it even before you were here or when you were here? So right around the
it
same
time. It was right before I started.
Okay, yeah.
Well, coaching. Yeah, coaching. Everyone likes to use the word. Yeah. You can't, people listening can't see it, but he just made the dirty face like, oh, I hate it.
Well, and the reason was I felt, first of all, I didn't think anybody would do it. I wasn't sure I wanted to do it, so we kind of made the bar high. $500 an hour, you have to sign up for a minimum of 6 or 10 hours.
Yeah.
And we'll only do 10 people. The next day, everyone had signed up. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Oh, boy. Well, the first meeting for each of the people, okay, so what do you want to accomplish? And then you have a 30-day assignment. See you 30 days. 30th day, come over. So how'd it go? Well, I didn't do any of it. And you're just going, I wasn't ready for that.
So this was about in 2005, and from what I remember, when I just came on, I think that's when you canceled it. You gave everybody their money back.
Did I really?
I think you did.
I didn't go through that. Okay, yeah, because I could see that I wasn't going to, it wasn't that I would, if I thought it was worthwhile for them, even if it was a struggle for me, I would have gone through it, but I could see that it was going to be almost like a therapy session, like, why aren't you doing this? You know, and I was like, it's just not what I wanted to be. I wanted to be a real estate entrepreneur, getting other people to get better. And most of the people just wouldn't do what was necessary to change. And yeah, I just, but I enjoy when it's my choice. See, I didn't have a choice about who was going to be mentored. Right? They could sign up and write a check. They were in. Well, now I have to at least say, I can say yes to people that I see. Okay, I can see they're like, they got what it takes and they're going to go after it. And so it's a little bit different. And then I enjoy it. It's my own pace or choice. And I can say no.
Yeah. It's been interesting watching the Florida process is a little bit different. So it includes a one-on-one with you, and it seems like you've been really enjoying that.
Oh, I have. That's a very different experience. It's, and again, just, the only way I can describe it, it's like getting a standing ovation an hour a day or an hour a time.
I know. I had somebody call yesterday. He's like, hey, I went back to your boot camp in 05. Your dad made me millions of dollars. What's next? So he's coming to Florida.
That's cool.
But, you know, just you're going to get to sit down with him for an hour and go over what he's been able to create. So
yeah,
it's been really rewarding.
I think that's part of it, is that you feel like, oh, wow. You know, like, kind of like what I just kind of told John. I said, you know, you don't realize how much you inspired me by already doing it in front of me. It was like, you build a custom home. I think I can too. You know, just there was a gentle persuasion. You know, he got his blue belt before I did. Not going to accept that. You know, just
did you? You really have never had like a formal mentorship relationship. It's not. Have you ever approached anybody and said, "Hey, will you mentor me?"
No, I thought Jim Rohn was the only mentor that I actually connected to the extent that I did with him. I mean, I still, if I want to turn something around, I'll listen to Rohn for 2 hours.
Interesting.
He just still has that power. He just, I just, for some reason, maybe it's how he says it or how well thought out it is. Jordan Peterson is about the only other guy, and that's been just from a recent development. I love listening to that guy. And when you realize the thought process that he goes through, he just explained, I was just watching him when I was on treadmill this morning. And when he writes a book, how well thought out it is, literally takes every paragraph, separates the sentences. He said he's probably redone each sentence 10 times in each paragraph to say it the perfect way, you know. And it's just like, okay. But maybe it's the right timing too. And I was ready for Rohn. I mean, I had a chance to get into this business. And I was seeing like, oh my, I can make per month what I used to make per year. What the heck?
It's interesting. I think there's a lot of different personality types. For me, going into writing a journal, I've got my little journal book that I started a couple years ago. And You tried to turn me on to Tony Robbins when I was in high school, and I was like, oh, Dad, I'm going to be on Broadway. I don't need any of this stuff. And when I tell people about how you've treated us kids, there was never an expectation that we would get in this business. You never created the plan for us. I mean, I'm very grateful. I feel like I'm getting to lead a second life in the best way. If it, you know, people talk about writing a new chapter, I feel like I'm getting to write a new book.
Yeah.
And I got to live out my dreams in New York. And I will never regret those days. And it really made me who I am today. So everyone's got a different journey and a different path. And some personalities will speak to you very differently. I think that's what I learned in the Millionaire Makers. You have somebody like Tony Alvarez who, you know, the mentors that he just, the spiritual mentors for him that really speak to him are so different than who somebody like you or Mike Cantu and who speaks to me. John Schaub was, I read his book and it gave me permission not to be a flipper, but to be a landlord. And I just fell in love with it.
Right.
And as soon as I'm like, I don't have to be this. I can be this, and that speaks to me. So mentors don't have to be somebody that you show up with lunch once a month. It can be a book, like you were just talking about. But I get that question a lot. You know, I need a mentor. I need a coach. And I see them spending, you know, I think the worst case, I heard somebody spend $75,000 on one of these coaching programs, which makes me sad. And it's somebody that's not even experienced saying, did you finish your to-do list? Which is... it's terrible. They're spending, you know, all that money for somebody just to tell them, did you spend your to-do list?
That one, the one seminar that we did where we had multiple, Tony Alvarez, first time he spoke, and there was, you know, half a dozen people together. Everyone was different. Jack Fullerton, they all approached it differently. And that's what I wanted the audience to see is that you're going to relate to somebody here. You're probably not going to be like Tony Alvarez, everybody. But maybe you could be Jack Fullerton. Jack Fullerton just walked around the neighborhood and says, you want to sell something? Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So I think that's what Ron did for me was he motivated me. Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, he just set a fire under my rear end. And I realized really quickly about writing goals that those are magic things. If I'm intense about a goal and I read that thing every day, something happens really quickly to get there.
Yeah, I've been using the Full Focus Planner, and that was actually the very first thing I've ever bought off of Instagram. It was an ad, and the concept is once a quarter, it's basically like a daily journal, and at the very front of the book, every quarter, you have to write all your big, hairy, audacious goals, your BHAG goals, and then every day, the goal is to look at your top three things that you're looking to accomplish in a to-do list. I don't know why, but it's been really magical to have to transfer that every day. So I'm telling myself, hey, this is one of the top three things I want to get done today. And when I have to write it 3 days in a row in the same line because I didn't get it done, man, and there's something about writing it. I'm a digital guy. I train in technology. There's something magical for me about the writing process. And then at the end of every quarter, having to transfer all your goals to see if you've moved the needle on any of them. Actually, I have. And what's been interesting, it's like I'm almost giving myself credit and it feels good because I have been moving the needle and I haven't been sitting on them. But just being very aware of those goals and moving the needle has been very awesome.
You know, the idea of like dare to think. So the custom home lot, I never dared to think. You know, we were living in UCR and that was like, that was like where the college professors were. For me, you know, coming off of food stamps and being married at 17, I was like, I've arrived. to jump over Canyon Crest and go to custom home lot.
Yeah.
It really wasn't thinkable, and yet it kind of hung around the people that made it plausible. And then when I wrote it down when Mom did her thing on me, I mean, the next day I found a building lot. So that's what's interesting is I wonder what else is out there that's possible, but you've never seen it. That lot was for sale for 2 months, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And I saw it the next day. I said, I want one.
Yeah.
So what else is possible? I guess you ought to ask.
Interesting. Well, motivation. If there's a lot of people looking to start the business. I definitely found myself in 2009, got back from New York. I was sitting on money and just really had a hard time pulling the trigger until I actually read a book, John Schaub. And I figured out I didn't have to be a flipper. It was amazing. But maybe people struggling with motivation and getting started, what do you tell them?
Man, find a reason. Find a reason that's bigger than your fears.
So it's not necessarily the how, it's the why.
No, it's the why.
And then, and you'll figure out the how.
That's right. Yeah, it's definitely, that's exactly right. I have to have a powerful reason. Sometimes it's love, and it's like, mom wants a custom home light, and she didn't even have to ask. You know that.
Yeah,
she just has to mention it. It goes on my list. But sometimes it's people piss me off.
Yeah.
It's really a strong motivation. You know, when I break my Achilles tendon, and the guy asks me, what happened to you? I tell him, he says, oh, good, that's the end of you. I mean, he did me such a favor.
Yeah.
What an awful statement. But it made me determined to go see him on the challenge court, you know, 6 months later. So I welcome that stuff. If it really cranks me up, it's just like, okay, it's on. And John Stevens, why I interviewed him. He did that. He does that for me, and he's not even trying to.
Right.
It's just that I see somebody that's got, we're sort of same age and made a progression. He didn't have college. He's just an entrepreneur, go-getter. And so, but a lot of the times he was a little ahead. He built a custom home first. He owned a business first. You know, he was doing better in karate. So, I mean, it was just interesting. I was like, I'm not going to let that happen.
Well, on our website, there's a free resource tab, and in there it's got a list of all the real estate investment clubs. I often tell people clubs are just like churches. You got to find one that fits you, and they all have a different personality, and those are the ones that we speak in on a regular basis. So
yeah.
If you're looking for some motivation and to surround yourself with people that can, you know, motivate you to get it done, I think those are a good spot. But I think to what we've been talking about, it doesn't have to be live in person. Mentors can live in books, and no time in history has it been easier to access.
Yeah. Well, the magic about YouTube is I wonder if I could hear Jim Rohn speak again. Wow, mm-hmm. What a cool thing. Oh, I could hear the 1981 speech. I did. Then it goes, oh, if you like Jim Rohn, you probably like Jordan Peterson. You're going, oh, my God.
Yeah. 75% of what happens on YouTube is because of their algorithm. So that's what I teach, is like, you better curate what you've been watching. Don't mindlessly go down the echo chamber of doom.
Of course, then you think that's it, right? That's 100% of the content that's available on YouTube, and it's all...
Every once in a while, if you just throw it like a confusing, look up something you've always just wondered, and, you know, or specifically be typing in things that are motivational and positive, you'll do yourself a huge favor. Otherwise, YouTube can be a dark and scary place.
I guess you're right. Well, I mean, for me, it's been... it's sort of replaced reading, honestly.
Yeah, for sure. I watch more YouTube than I do. Well, by far, I don't watch TV anymore.
Right. Well, that's kind of what's happened.
Yep.
So I'm on treadmill. I'm listening to Jordan Peterson get interviewed by the guy that owns Valuetainment.
Okay.
I mean, he's really a smart guy, and I enjoy all of his little half-hour segments and stuff. Well mm-hmm. thought out. Amazing. So, yeah, it's quite an education tool, and you're kind of double dipping.
Yeah.
You know, you're walking and being entertained, so the walk is easier and you're getting value.
Yeah, there's no excuse. So anyway, I just wanted to follow up with a little bit of a snippet on that just to get your thoughts on mentorship. So thanks.
Okay.
The Norris Group originates and services loans in California and Florida under California DRE License 01219911, Florida Mortgage Lender License 1577, and NMLS License 1623669. For more information on hard money lending, go to thenorrisgroup.com and click the hard money tab.
For more information on hard money loans and upcoming events with the Norris Group, check out thenorrisgroup.com. For information on passive investing with trust deeds, visit tngtrustdeeds.com.